Let me pray, and we'll go into God's words for today. Father, we thank you for this time just to come before you, just to come before your word and see what you have to say for us today. Holy Spirit, speak to our minds, speak to our hearts. Draw us closer to you to make us more like Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to read today from Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verses 32 through 43. And the title of today's message is called The Intersection of Lives, Part 2. And so as I've been doing this study through the book of Acts on prayer, it's just been an amazing process just to see how almost just how different and inconsistent really prayer is in the book of Acts in terms of how God shows up differently each and every time, which shows us that kind of like there's principles to gathered here, but we have to be careful in knowing the times and the seasons of when to apply them in our lives. And so I want to begin here with Acts chapter 9, verses 32 to 43, and then break it down from there, where it says, "Now as Peter was traveling through all those regions, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man, Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years, for he was paralyzed. Peter said to him, 'Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed.' Immediately he got up, and all who lived at Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. And it happened at the time that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, imploring him, 'Do not delay in coming to us.' So Peter arose and went with him. When he arrived, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. But Peter sent them all out and knelt and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, 'Tabitha, arise.' And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. And calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. It became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed many days in Joppa with a tanner named Simon." And so here we have Peter now in this story, that we see that Peter is traveling from, it says that he was traveling through all those regions. So he's going from place to place, and he comes down and he visits the saints. It says here that he came down also to the saints who lived in Lydda. And so probably a side note on that. I like how Peter, how often the word saint is used here to refer to believers. I think sometimes we use the word as like, oh, we're all sinners. Oh, you're a sinner, I'm a sinner. But here Peter says, no, he's not going, oh, I went to visit the sinners that follow Christ. No, he calls them saints because there's a new identity in being in Christ, that we move from sinners into saints. And so here Peter refers to them as visiting the saints. And so traveling from place to place, he comes down and he visits the saints, the other disciples. And he finds a man who has been paralyzed for 8 years here. And so, and just to make a note on this, because I've titled this The Intersection of Lives Part 2, because a few weeks ago I spoke on the intersection of lives between the life point of Saul and the life point of Ananias coming together being the meeting point where God's purposes are fulfilled. And here in this story, we will see how someone's need became an intersection of lives for leading others into a relationship with God. And so as I was talking about Peter here, we see that we'll look at Peter as life point number one. That as he sees this paralyzed man who's been paralyzed for 8 years, and he says, "Ananias, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed." And immediately he got up. And I like the confidence of that, of Ananias, of Peter when he prayed for this, individual. I don't know if that's the only prayer that Peter prayed, or if he was on prayer number 3 or 4 or 5 of praying for healing for this guy. But you see the confidence of Peter just boldly declaring and praying over the man, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed." If I'm Peter, I'm like, what if I say that and he doesn't get up and make his bed? And so, but here Peter prays with that. He declares with that confidence. And so miracles and healings are happening, and miracles and healings are common throughout the book of Acts, actually. And they serve as a sign for those who don't believe to believe, you could say. And so we see in this point number one that in the life of Peter that Peter encounters this paralyzed man, a healing happens, and it says that then because of that many are led to believe. And so then we are introduced to life point number two here. After that, it says that, "And all who lived in Joppa saw him and they turned to the Lord." Now in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. So we're being introduced to life point number two here. And she's described as being a disciple who was known for always doing good works, acts of charity, of showing kindness. And it says that she became sick and she died. And that her body was washed and placed in the upper room. Essentially, they already considered her dead. They washed her body, prepared her for burial, for people to see her body, as that was part of the burial process. So she was declared dead. So that's life point number two. But here we also see, I want to introduce life point number three. We see the disciples. Because in this we see that since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, imploring him, "Do not delay in coming to us." And so the disciples have heard that Peter's around, and they sent two individuals, and they express a sense of urgency to Peter, and they say, "Do not delay and come to us." So we see there life point number three and being the disciples. And so we've then arrived to this moment of the intersection of lives brought forth by various factors, but most notably a need. Okay, what's bringing them together at this moment is a need. What was the need? Tabitha had died, and the disciples went out and reached Peter. So the need of I think in their minds, all right, Peter's around this area. We hear everything that he's doing. Maybe we could bring him to Tabitha and God could do something. I don't know. And so, but they step out. And so we arrive to this moment where Peter then, it says that in verse 39, that Peter arose and went with them. And when he arrived, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. And so some commentaries read and say that perhaps Dorcas was part of her business, part of her kindness, part of her charity was making robes and garments for widows, for them to make a living for themselves. And so they showed Peter everything that he was doing. So you could imagine, if you're imagining this scene, that Peter shows up to this place, he walks up to the upper room and he shows up and there's all these widows that are crying. You can imagine it probably being loud, and he's being walked through the place and saying, "Look, this is all Dorcas used to make. She used to make all these clothes, all these garments, and she was so kind and she was so generous." But Peter does something interesting, and it says here that Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed. How long did he pray for? I don't know. But it says here that turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And so here we see again Peter not really acting in character of who he is. He just says, "Tabitha, arise." Again, we see that confidence and that boldness in prayer of just simply declaring, "Tabitha, arise." Again, I would have been like, what if I say arise and she doesn't arise? But we see this moment here. And it says here that she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And it says that after that, he gave her his hand, raised her up, and calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And again, it became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. So we see this pattern beginning in verse 32, where Peter is traveling, healing, a miracle and healings occur, and many believe. And this chapter ends in somewhat the same way. Peter shows up, a miracle occurs, and it leads many to believe. So as I was reflecting on this scripture reading for today as a devotion, as just what does it mean in terms of the intersection of lives, is that, like I said, we have life point number one, we see, which is the life of Peter, and we see that he is the benefactor, you could say. And then we have life point number two, which are the disciples. They're the bridge, the connector between Peter and Tabitha. And we finally get to life point number three, which is Tabitha Dorcas, which is the recipient here. And what brought them together was there was simply a need. That there was a need, that there was a need happening that brought them together. And so last time I spoke on the intersection of lives, I said that God had orchestrated what was happening between the life of Saul and Ananias. But here we don't really see anything in terms of God being mentioned in terms of an orchestration. What we see here is something completely different. Is this kind of just life is happening, you could say. In life, people get sick, people are injured, people are hurt. There are needs. There are needs around us in all our lives. And so what we see here is we see Peter here being the benefactor. And I want to point out two things in terms of life point number one of Peter being the benefactor, is that the disciples show up to Peter and they communicate in an urgency to him, and they tell him, "Don't delay." They say, "Don't delay and come with us." And I think when I reflect on that for my life, I think about how sometimes delaying a quick moment could be the difference between acting in faith or getting into a place where you begin to overthink everything and every decision and you don't end up doing anything. I don't know if you guys have ever been in that place where you feel, well, I feel God is telling me to do this. Don't delay and do it. Because if you get to that place where you do delay and you're like, well, I don't know if God was that. It was after lunch. Maybe it was my stomach speaking. I don't know. I can't discern anymore. Oh, what if that person gets offended? Now we're in this place of overthinking everything. And I think there's this beauty here that when we act as soon as the need is present, we don't overthink things. Like, I think sometimes when we see someone on the street, I think when we encounter maybe someone that is in need, a homeless person, I think some of us get moved and we feel led to do something. But the moment we start thinking, oh, but what if I offend that person? What if she doesn't want money? Or what if they want this? And you're like, ah, and then like, I don't do anything. And so the same thing, it's that delaying moment that I think we could learn as being people that sometimes in our lives will be the benefactor in someone's life. And so here, I like I said, the boldness of Peter of praying and saying, "Tabitha, get up." And I think sometimes And I've done this so many times myself where I haven't prayed boldly and confidently before God. I'll start praying and my prayers are filled with doubt of just like, well, God, you know, if you want to do this in this person's life, as opposed to just saying, hey, God, this is, I confidently just boldly declare. And then maybe sometimes in our lives, we won't be the benefactor in someone's life, but we'll be the disciples. Life point number two. Will be the bridge and the connector that requires compassionate action and that requires compassionate action. I like one of our GIC verses that I just finished memorizing is the verse that we use for church that says, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. You know, sometimes you may not be the person that leads someone to Christ, but sometimes it's simply your invitation to bring someone to church can be the moment that leads them into a moment of transformation in their life. Maybe you weren't the benefactor, but you served as a bridge and the connection point in that person's life. And I think sometimes in our lives that, yeah, we may not be the benefactor, but we may serve as the bridge and the connection point between that person and a life-changing moment in their lives. But I think in moments like this, I think normally people that step out in being a bridge and being a connector is that they have the eyes to see, they have the compassionate to see. And here it kind of makes it say that Lita and Sharon were kind of next door, like almost like where Paul was working was central, and then where Tabitha and Dorcas was Admiralty. But it's not. It was actually, there's an 11-mile difference, okay? There's an 11-mile difference of no bus, no tram, no taxi, no Uber, no MTR. There's no mode of transportation, really. Probably horses in that time of transportation. So there's an 11-mile difference. That's sometimes, I think that's enough for people to be, you know what? It wasn't meant to be. It's a bit far to 11 miles. You know, she's dead. Let's just leave it at that and let's just move on. But no, here we see that the benefactor, the connectors here, is that they know Peter's around. Within the area, and they travel those 11 miles and they bring Peter to him. And we see that as being life point number two. And then we arrive to life point number three, which is, you could say, which is the recipient. Well, Dorcas here couldn't really fight it off in terms of being able to receive that she was simply the recipient of two different life points, of someone being the benefactor and someone being the connector and the bridge, and her benefiting greatly in her life because others were willing to act out on her behalf. And so I think sometimes though, and so for me, I think this makes me just reflect on just recognizing the seasons that I'm going through in my life or maybe the times and the moment of maybe God, you're wanting me to be the benefactor at this moment, that you're calling me not to delay and to go and to act and to do it boldly and confidently. Or maybe God, I'm just the middle person this time around. I'm just going to be the bridge and the connector between that person and this moment that you have for that person. Or maybe sometimes we're just simply the recipient of others. We just simply receive because others are being obedient and walking out in the obedience of God, and they simply just receive because of the obedience of others. And I think there's a humbling moment in that sometimes, I think, I remember when I first came to Hong Kong, and, well I guess two parts to the story is when my wife first visited the States, and she came to our house, and my mom like served her some food, just she served my wife some food, and then my wife finished it, and then my mom goes, oh, do you want more? And my wife goes, no, I'm okay. And my mom's like, all right, cool. And then afterwards, I was like, oh, were you not hungry? Did you not like the food? And I was like, and she's like, yeah, I was still hungry. I'm still hungry. And I was like, well, how come you just didn't say you wanted more? And she's like, well, because she didn't keep asking. And I realized that when I came to Hong Kong, almost as a courtesy thing, is you kind of do, you ask three times. It's like, oh, do you want some? No, I'm okay. Do you want some? No, I'm okay. Do you want some? No. Oh, and then you finally take it on the third time. And so she was expecting that as a recipient, you could say. And so I think sometimes in that way, as being recipients, we could just be, oh, no, I'm okay. Oh, no, I'm okay. But really, we have to also be able to receive in our lives as well. And I think sometimes that's tough for us. And so as we go into a time of worship this morning, I want us to reflect on just these three different life points that were brought together by a need. And I guess you could say life point number two, the bridge, the connector, could almost be like the person that networks around that there'll be that person at work as like, oh, you know who you need to meet? You need to meet this person, because then that person will help you out. And you're that networker between people, between their lives being changed. And I think as we go throughout our day and throughout our week, that we would just pray for one thing, for God, show us the needs that are around us that maybe you're calling us to step into. Whether to serve as the benefactor, and that when those moments do come, that we won't delay, but that we will act. Or maybe that we'll serve as the bridge, the connector, the networker in that moment that connects two people. Or maybe we're at the recipient end where we just need to humbly receive from the obedience of others, or just simply being able to receive. And so as we go into a time of worship, why don't we just reflect on those three different life points, and that in different seasons of our lives or different circumstances, our lives are going to be playing a different role, and that we would be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit to see how He is calling us out. How He is calling us to live out those moments.
Step out on the water, and they
Father, we thank you for your word this moment, this morning. I pray that we won't delay when needs around us present themselves, and we sense your Holy Spirit in us, calling us to move, calling us to act, and calling us to go. That we won't delay, and that we would step out into those moments, and just like Peter stepped out into those moments and prayed confidently, that we would also do it confidently as well. That we would also do it courageously. I pray for maybe those moments where they're just the bridge, the connector between people or moments in their lives, that we would have the compassion to see. And maybe it might cost us sometimes to go out of our ways. It might cost us to be a little inconvenient sometimes, but to walk that extra mile with someone, to be able to be that bridge and that connector, and see lives that are changed and transformed. And I pray that also we would have humbling hearts to receive sometimes. Not because we did anything, but simply because out of the obedience of others or because of the kindness of others, that we are simply the recipients of that, and that we would just humbly receive in our lives as well. That you would help us determine the seasons of when to apply this in our lives, those moments. And so we just lean on you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go into our community prayer and pray for those that have cancer, chemo, and are going through radiation therapy and surgery. Pray for those that have illness and also in need of salvation. Pray for those that have infirmities. Let's pray for those that are looking for jobs in this season. Let's pray for those in missions. Pray for the board. Let's pray for the fellowships happening. Let's pray for SP 2.0. pray for today's gathering. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, that as we go throughout our day, that you'll be with us, leading us and guiding us. And I pray for just those intersection moments in our lives, whether they be orchestrated like Saul and Ananias, or maybe simply there's a need out there, just like there was between Peter, the disciples, and Dorcas, that we would just simply be sensitive to your leading, Holy Spirit, how to live out those moments faithfully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless and enjoy the rest of your prayer time.